always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome again to another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, and I'm joined there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my good friend, my co-host, and my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are things going, Terry?
Going pretty good so far today, Joel. I'm kind of watching out, though.
All right. Well, now, I do want to let you guys know that we're going to be kind of scripture full today. We're going to be all over the place, in primarily in the book of Ezekiel. And we also have some breaking news for you from all over the world. There's some very, very important events going on. But right now, what I want to start with is something that Terry and I are both very familiar with, this gentleman, and Christians all over the world, I believe, are as well. And he is the founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network. His name is Pat Robertson. And Pat died today at the age of 93, and he is now in the presence of Jesus Christ, someone that he has professed most of his adult life, to my knowledge, and I feel pretty confident. I mean, nobody knows for sure, right, about the salvation of another person. You can, as you saw in the title there, you can know, and you should know, whether or not you're going to heaven yourself. That's something that's between you and God, but you can know it, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I feel relatively sure that Mr. Robertson is there. Tell you a little bit about him. First of all, he actually created this network with a very small Virginia TV station, and he transformed that thing into the Christian Broadcasting Network. And he created the Christian Coalition, for those of you familiar with that. And that has helped cement the Republican Party's enduring alliance with evangelical voters. Robertson's enterprises also include Regent University, an evangelical Christian school in Virginia Beach, the American Center for Law and Justice, which defends the First Amendment rights of religious people, and Operation Blessing, an international humanitarian organization. Pat Robertson is married to Dee Dee. They have 4 children, 14 grandchildren, and 24 great-grandchildren. And believe it or not, now, he received a law degree, believe it or not, from Yale University. That's pretty impressive. But believe it or not, he failed the bar exam. So he decided that he was going to be done with law, and instead he dedicated his life to Jesus Christ. Terry, I would like for you to comment on that, number one. But number two, please do offer a prayer for that family. And, you know, Christian or not, families mourn, and they have every right to do so. Terry?
Yeah. The beautiful thing is that as Christians, we don't sorrow the way the world sorrows, as Paul told us when he was introducing to the Thessalonians the beautiful promise of our blessed hope, the rapture. Amen. And so I know that that teaching, even as we speak, is comforting his son. I believe it's Pat Robertson Jr., who runs the show over there now. And I'm sure he's in a state of grief in some ways, yet nonetheless, knowing his father is with Jesus, he's comforted in that regard greatly, greatly. And we pray, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of praying for such a man that has had such a dynamic experience in life, and the important role that you gave him, Lord, and protected him from advancing in law to rise to the higher ground of grace. So we just thank you for him and for what he did in his testimony and his encouragements across the planet, Lord. And what a lovely man, what a wonderful spirit, what a joy it was to listen to him, to listen to him laugh, Lord. He had one of the most infectious laughs that I can remember. And we know, we pray for his son and family, Lord, and all of them, and for all of those at TBN who are weathering the storm of his going. We pray for all of them, Lord, for your hand on them, for you to comfort them, Lord, for them to use even this as an opportunity to witness to the world, as Pat would desire, to the world, that Jesus is real, he's coming back, and everyone is going to give account. And again, we thank you for this privilege and honor. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are going to get into a little bit of news here first, and then after that, we're going to get into the book of Ezekiel. And we've got a lot to cover today. Should be really, really interesting. But Terry, I pulled this one for you specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But also because of the ongoing AI situation. Okay. I mean,
okay.
It's easy for us to laugh at this, but think AI is a very serious problem. You know,
there's no doubt about it.
I'm getting
it. That laughter was, like I say very often, I laugh for point to cry.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't, my mother used to say, if I don't laugh, I'm going to weep. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I'm still way behind on this. I'm still not up to speed on everything AI.
Sure.
But the more I read about it, the more it bothers me. Okay. So anyway, this report isn't specifically AI, but it is AI based. It's, you know, the reason for the problem is AI. And again, this is something I think would be near and dear to you. I'm also interested to know if you're part of this organization. But anyway, here we go.
Hollywood's Actors Union voted to authorize a strike if contract talks break down, turning up the heat on major film and television studios already grappling with a work stoppage by writers.
SAG-AFTRA, which represents 160,000 actors, said 97.91% of the votes that were cast supported a strike authorization. Talks between the Actors Union and major studios are scheduled to start on Wednesday. Over the weekend, the studios likely averted another work stoppage by reaching a tentative deal with the Directors Guild of America. Clara Hudson reporting.
So you in that group?
No, Karen is. She's in SAG, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised that, was she an actor too?
Oh, yeah. She was on, what's his name? The Texas Dallas? You know Dallas? Yeah. She got her card.
Okay, so this is something I have known you since 2015, and this is the first time that you have ever mentioned to me that Karen was a better actor than you.
Now wait a minute. More credentials, more credentials. Now, but I will say this. The reason that you opened up a cornucopia here, the reason I haven't talked about it is she doesn't like talking about it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Maybe she won't watch the show. We'll be okay.
I'm sorry, Karen.
If you hear an explosion coming from the Dallas area, you know where it came from. You know which house.
All right. Well, so, I was just kidding with you about all that stuff. But anyway, I had no idea that she was ever in acting. Okay, that's a conversation for maybe a podcast down the line someday somewhere. Yeah. You know,
you can bring her on and interview her.
There you go.
She loves to talk about Jesus.
All right. Well, I'll love to do that same. So we'd be just fine.
Amen.
Okay. Moving right along here. Would you say that we have a little bit of violence in cities right now? That things might be a little bit out of control, just a little.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And
if you were
to say. And I'm hitting you with this with no advance warning. I want the audience to know this. I have not discussed this with Terry at all, what I'm about to ask him. Yeah. If I was to ask you, as I am right now, which state in the United States of America do you think has probably the worst governor, the worst rules and regulations, and the most violence that is not addressed by the state?
Well, that's kind of a difficult question because there's so many parts to it.
First of all, big state.
Just offhand, I would say Illinois is qualifying category.
No. And, California. California.
Okay. I understand why you're going.
Let me play you why I'm saying that right now. Okay. Here we go. Listen to this.
Two insurance industry giants have pulled back from California's home insurance marketplace, saying that increasing wildfire and soaring construction costs have prompted them to stop writing new policies in the nation's most populous state.
State Farm announced last week it would stop accepting applications for all business and personal lines of property and casualty insurance. Allstate announced in November it would pause new homeowners, condo, and commercial insurance policies in California to protect current customers. The decisions did not impact personal auto insurance. Davis Richards reporting.
Okay, they're blaming it on wildfires and all that kind of stuff. And I say, nope, that's not the reason. The reason is because people are out there tearing down buildings. They're burning up buildings. And this is homes, and it is commercial areas, which is exactly the insurance that they're cutting out. They're tired of paying for California's non-action by the government, by their stop the police and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm saying that as a United States citizen, that is my personal opinion, obviously. But I believe it's going to be pretty accurate to say that if you had a state that actually had laws that they actually enforced, I bet those two insurance companies would still be operating there. Again, personal opinion. Okay. Any comment there?
That's a good observation. And again, it depends on what you're looking at. And of course, your information, which I was not aware of, how little I look at the world anyway.
That's you okay. Talk Bible, that's my job. That's all, my hey, job. I'm the news guy. You're the theologian. Okay. All right. I really should have played this one right along with Pat Robertson. But this is going to be important for those of the Catholic faith, and I want you guys to listen to this one very carefully.
Pope Francis is in hospital for abdominal surgery. The Vatican says the 86-year-old is being placed under general anaesthetic and will remain in hospital for several days. Giles Gibson reports from Rome.
Pope Francis has a history of intestinal issues. He had an operation 2 years ago in which doctors removed 33 centimetres of his colon. The Vatican says this latest surgery is to treat the recurrent, painful and worsening effects of a hernia. Before his admission to hospital was announced on Wednesday, the Pope was seen at his weekly audience, addressing a crowd in St. Peter's Square in the Vatican. Earlier this year, the 86-year-old also spent 3 days in hospital to receive treatment for a respiratory infection. Giles Gibson, Rome.
And we do offer our prayers to Pope Francis.
Sure.
Amen. As we would for anyone.
Amen.
So, Terry, it's time for you to come along with 2 minutes from Terry. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pull up your stuff. And in the meantime,
just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net.
That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, it is now time for you. 2 minutes with Terry begins right now.
Homeschool works. The Last Christian Charge, engaging the sword today. Anticipate Jesus' shout every day. Prepare for battle. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. By the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, new every morning. Great, O Lord, is thy faithfulness. Continuing our gleaning of the Word of God and His divine creation of the world and universe in 6 24-hour days, we turn to the fifth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, let the fowl multiply in the earth. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth, and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Okay, Terry, I got to break in on you right there, okay? But I want to point out something really quick. I noticed that it said that God created.
Yeah.
If I heard that right, he created man and woman. And
that is correct, yeah.
Okay. Was there any other sex involved in that? Just a yes or no answer. Just a yes or no answer.
No, that's a good, yeah, no, there was not.
Okay. Another thing that I heard there was something about we. What wasn't the word we involved in there somewhere? I mean, it wasn't just
yes.
God, one individual, yeah, but there was a we in there, and you're okay, talking Genesis, right?
All right, now hang on. And God said, let us make man in our, us in our.
Okay.
All
right, so
after
now,
our
now that's God speaking, okay? And
it
he said
is.
Us and we. And
he did.
For those of you that aren't catching on to this yet, what he's talking about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in Genesis, okay? Mm-hmm. He's in Genesis. Mm-hmm. And remember, just like there's a last play in every football game, there's going to be a last person to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before the rapture of the church. Mm-hmm. So all you've got to do is say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me because it was prophesied that he would do that. Okay, it was prophesied, and we'll talk about that later. But I also know that there's a way I can make absolutely sure I'm going to heaven, and that is I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ right now. Okay, I know he died for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose from the grave just like he said he did. I know that he has ascended to heaven, and I know that he made a promise that he's coming back for everyone, living and dead, that believe in Jesus Christ in a moment called the rapture of the church. And then God is going to unleash 7 years of tribulation on the earth, the worst time in the history of the earth, and it's never going to get that bad again, ever again. Okay? And you can avoid all of that simply by praying that prayer of salvation in Jesus' name. And if you are that last individual that we are looking for to accept Jesus before the rapture, then the next face you see is Jesus Christ, and Terry and I will be right there next to you. Okay.
Amen.
Terry,
thank
you want to make any comment on that before we move along?
I know
you got
First John 5:13. These things are written, the Apostle John said. These things are written that you may know, present tense, that you have present tense.
Amen.
That you have eternal life, and even you who believe on his name, and knowing that you will continue to believe on his name. And I've put in that extra part there. But he says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, even you who believe on his name, and that you will believe on his name.
Okay, and I'm putting it for those of you that are watching this in video form, and again, you can do that at www.lastchristian.net, or if you're on Facebook, make sure that you subscribe there as well. Click the little bell and let people, you know, to where you can get all the video information and know when we post something new. Look at that. Are you going to heaven? You can know for sure. And Terry just read you a very, very important verse of the Bible that verifies all that. Now, what we're going to be doing really for the rest of the show, and we'll bring that back up again. Believe me, we'll bring that back up again. But what we're going to be doing for the rest of the show is we're going to be going through Ezekiel for the most part. We're going to begin in Ezekiel chapter 37, a book of the Bible that we have not, to my remembering anyway, Terry, I don't think we've attacked Ezekiel 37 at any point during the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show over the last year.
I don't think so.
So this is going to be really interesting because, you know, we just finished with Ezekiel 36, and I think that was very enlightening. For those of you that didn't see that part, you might want to go back to a few of our previous shows. You can again find that at www.lastchristian.net or on YouTube or any of the podcast networks anywhere. We broadcast to all 50 states, more than 160 countries around the world. So, you know, you can find us, look for it, and then if you look at you'll catch up with Ezekiel 36. Now we're going to go into Ezekiel 37, and we're going to follow that with Ezekiel 38, because what you are hearing, what we are going to be presenting, if you pick up your newspaper, if you watch the TV, even CNN, even MSNBC, even those, if you follow those, and then you look at the Bible, you say, oh, wow, the Bible predicted that thousands of years ago, and now it's coming true. Yeah, that's because we're the last generation. We're the ones to see it unfold. Terry, you want to make a comment on that before we move on?
No, I can't improve on that. Read it and believe it, folks. Read it and believe it.
Amen. Okay, we're going to get the rest of this news out of the way. That way we clear the decks. I'm going to try hard to clear the decks completely where we can spend the whole second half of the show on this, okay? So I want y'all to listen to this one real quick.
The UK government will house hundreds more asylum seekers on barges, the Prime Minister said.
Two more barges will house about 1,000 migrants, alongside one that's set to be docked in Portland in southern England within the next 2 weeks. The move is meant to help save millions in taxpayers' money currently spent to house asylum seekers in hotels across the country. Libby St. James reporting.
And I'm not really sure if these people have applied or, you know, they're just doing whatever. I don't know. So I really don't want to comment on that because I really don't know. If people are doing things legally to go to another country, then I support them 100%. Okay. Now then, we're going to get into a little bit more serious, and this is the Ukraine.
Ukrainians abandoned inundated homes as floodwaters crested across a swath of the south on Wednesday after the destruction of a vast hydroelectric dam on the front line between Russia and Ukrainian forces.
Residents waded through flooded streets carrying children on their shoulders, dogs in their arms and belongings in plastic bags, while rescuers used rubber boats to search areas where the waters reached above head height. Ukraine said the flood would leave hundreds of thousands of people without access to drinking water. Harry Michaels reporting.
And we're just going to continue this because these reports are important.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has visited the flood-hit region of Kherson, where the destruction of a dam has wreaked havoc. At least three people have died on the Ukrainian-held side of the Dnipro River, while Russian-installed officials say at least five people have been killed on territory they control. Ukraine has called for urgent international aid, as thousands of people have been displaced. President Zelensky has warned of severe environmental consequences, and he accused Russia of neglecting citizens in occupied areas.
The situation in the occupied part of Kherson region is absolutely catastrophic. The occupiers simply abandoned people in these terrible conditions, without rescue, without water, just on the rooftops of flooded communities. And this is another deliberate crime of Russia. After the terrorist state has caused the disaster, it also maximizes the damage from it. Now we need a clear and quick response from the world to what is happening.
President Vladimir Putin has called the attack barbaric but denied responsibility. Military experts say Russia had far more to gain from the destruction of the dam than Ukraine.
And one more.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Why would Russia blow up a Ukrainian dam, with floods now threatening scores of villages, towns and cities in the south of the country? While Kyiv blames Russia for the attack, there is also the possibility that it will damage water supplies in the Russian-annexed Crimean Peninsula and cause fresh anxiety about the Russian-controlled Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Militarily, Moscow may have been seeking to slow an effort by Ukrainian forces to attack Russian positions by crossing the Dnipro River, in addition to launching a purely land-based assault. Reporter Tom Mutch is in Kherson.
There are two potential axes of advance. The other axis of advance is over land. The problem that the Ukrainians have there is that that has been very, very heavily fortified by the Russians because they are so worried about that. So they have these huge, big minefields, razor wire, everything possible to try and stop a Ukrainian advance. So if the Ukrainians were able to take them by surprise and cross over the river, that could bypass a large amount of the Russian defenses. So if there is a military rationale for this move, it's probably to frustrate something like that.
The president of the EU Council called the blowing up of the dam a war crime. The Ukrainian government called it ecocide and said it was a desperate attempt by the Kremlin to slow Kyiv's preparation of a fresh offensive. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Now, you know, I cover a lot of ground, and you know, there's a lot of different reports that I get, and I have come to the conclusion myself, and this is a part of KRRB reporting, and again, I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. My credentials there are there for everyone to see that's watching this in video form. I believe Russia did this, and they did it simply because of the Ukrainian invasion or counteroffensive. Now, by flooding this area, they have basically stopped the Ukrainian counteroffensive. The people say that they were ready for it. No, they weren't. They did not expect Russia to do this. If they did, they wouldn't have those troops in position where this happened. They would move them somewhere else. Now, we're not done with this quite yet. I'm going to finish this off in the second half of the show, but we are at the end of the first half of the show. So, again, now, if you happen to have a radio station, you're looking for a new show, just go to www.lastchristian.net. We are growing by leaps and bounds. We'd love to have you add our show to your station, as many have. Again, that's www.lastchristian.net. And for everybody else, we'll be back right after the break.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Attention podcasters, influencers, media personalities, content creators, and aspiring or existing radio personalities. KRRB Revelation Radio now offers the opportunity to broadcast or syndicate both new or existing shows to all 50 states and more than 160 countries around the world. And if you currently operate a radio station, we offer you the opportunity to add several popular shows in virtually every genre for broadcast on your station. Choose programming from 30 minutes to 2 hours, with each internationally syndicated show adding quality content sure to grow your listening audience. We even have excellent optional services to help you promote your show or station. These services are not only designed for audio use on the radio, but also include tools for use on social media, even YouTube. For more information, visit www.revelationradio.net or email the Ustreamit LLC Broadcast Network at office@ustreamit.net today.
The report says Russian forces have closed or taken over 76 places of worship, looted or destroyed 13, and killed or seized 29 religious leaders in occupied Ukraine. Russia, it says, continues to weaponize religion. According to the report, Russian soldiers are harassing Baptists, calling them American spies and enemies of the Russian Orthodox people. It's alleged one Russian officer told Christians in Ukraine, "Evangelical believers like you should be completely destroyed. You need to be buried alive." The new report confirms what Release International is hearing from its partners in Ukraine, that pastors are being targeted and churches closed in areas under Russian occupation. In 2016, President Putin required all religious organizations and churches in Russia to register with the government. It effectively outlawed foreign missionary work and has led to the persecution of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in the occupied territories, along with Baptists and other Protestant denominations. This counter-terrorism measure has been used to prosecute American Baptist and Pentecostal missionaries and to burn Bibles. In Russia itself, there are signs that the state is clamping down on religious protests against the war. On March the 30th, a Moscow court jailed a 63-year-old Orthodox Christian for 7 years for condemning Russia's war on social media. Mikhail Simonov posted, "We, Russia, have become godless. Forgive us, Lord." Human rights organization Forum 18 says Simonov is the first person to be jailed for expressing his religious opposition to the war. Others are also now standing trial. Musician Anna Shagina was arrested for displaying the Bible verse, "Blessed are the peacemakers," during an anti-war protest in March 2022.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I want to finish this thing up with Russia. Got a couple of quick reports. Again, these are just reports that I have received. Anyway, I do not believe that the Ukraine was prepared for this. I think it really has slowed them down. But something that is extremely important, I'm receiving this information from numerous sources. All of this stuff that you're hearing in the mainstream media about Ukraine winning, about Russia running low or whatever, that is all being debunked by a large number of reporting agencies, credible news agencies from around the world. And what they have done, they've already taken a large swath of territory in the eastern portion of Ukraine. They have control of that nuclear power facility. They are basically grinding the Ukraine army into dust very, very slowly. Now, I would encourage people to listen to the Watchman newscast with Eric Stackelbeck. And there's another gentleman. I'm not allowed to play his clips because it's a private newscast, or it's not even a newscast. It's reporting. His reporting is extremely good. And forgive me, I forget his first name right off the top of my head, but his last name is Turley. And he is Dr. Turley. And he went into a very detailed report on all of this stuff. And I'll get that for you guys, and hopefully bring it up to you in the next show. Anyway, everything that you're being told is wrong. The Ukrainians are losing. For those of you, we have a huge audience in the Ukraine, in Russia, and in surrounding areas. All of you, please try to find this guy. If you can possibly get out of there, please do. Now, listen to this. Britain is stepping up sanctions against Belarus because they are trying to protest the fact that Belarus is allowing these tactical nuclear weapons. I want to repeat those words, tactical nuclear weapons. They're allowing them into Belarus, and Belarus is actually distributing them now to position them for use against the Ukraine. Something else that the mainstream media is not telling you, but something that I can report to you as factual, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, KRRB stands behind this, that they are preparing for tactical nuclear strikes. Be ready. It's coming. Okay, be ready. It's coming. All right, now then, if you don't think NATO's concerned, listen to this. There is a massive NATO air drill to simulate an attack on a member nation. They call it our red line. Now, we are showing that NATO territory is our red line, that we are prepared to defend every centimeter of this territory. That, according to a German Air Force lieutenant colonel, whose name I will not attempt to pronounce. The German commander also insisted that these drills are meant to be purely defensive in nature and will not fly near Russian airspace. It will demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt the agility and the swiftness of our allied force in NATO as a first responder. I would be pretty surprised if any world leader was not taking note of what this shows in terms of the spirit of this alliance, which means the strength of the alliance, and this includes Russian President Vladimir Putin. And you're tweeting again, Terry, very, very loud, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You need to get rid of that.
Is that better?
Yeah, if you keep it like away from there or mute it or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, the Biden administration is under fire for an Iranian nuclear and hostage deal. Yeah, a new deal is being proposed by this president. The Iranian regime controlled Mir news agency reported that Mohammad Mehrandi, I guess, an advisor to Iran's nuclear negotiating team, said that the nuclear agreement text is basically ready and is awaiting both parties' signature, adding that the time is ripe for this deal. Iran has turned a large sector of its economy into a war economy. The regime announced that it created the first domestically made hypersonic ballistic missile. And here's their claim. This is a quote. It can bypass the most advanced anti-ballistic missile systems of the United States and the Zionist regime, including Israel's Iron Dome. What it can't destroy is God Almighty. And God says Israel's going to be fine. So I just thought I'd throw that in there a little extra there. Okay.
Amen.
Also, and this is coming directly out of Israel. This, according to the Jerusalem Post, this is Prime Minister Yoav, I guess, how you say his first name? Yoav Gallant. Mm-hmm. He says, we will bomb Hezbollah into the Stone Age if they make a mistake with us. That is the most assertive thing that I have heard Israel say in quite a while. Now, Hassan Nazarov, again, I apologize to him for mispronouncing his name. He's a Lebanese cleric and a political leader who has served as the third Secretary General of Hezbollah since his predecessor, Abbas al-Muswai, was assassinated, in other words, eliminated, by the Israeli Defense Force. He said to Israel, excuse me, and I'm quoting, you are not the ones threatening war. It is us who do so. And war will include all of Israel's borders. Any wrong action in Palestine, Syria, or Iran could lead to a major war. Unquote. Quoting me, and a horrible defeat for you going up against Israel. Okay, that's... okay. All right. Any comment on any of that, Terry?
No, and I'm going back to what you said before. It says that God is going to destroy Israel's enemies on the very mountains of Israel. That's how close it's going to get. So,
right. I agree. One more report, and then it's on to Ezekiel. And this is, it's called On the Brink. This is being reported by the Jerusalem Post, and they say the reality in our region is changing rapidly. We are not stagnating. We are adapting our combat doctrine and our possibilities for action in keeping with these changes. Now, this is according to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, this is kind of a going back and forth report. It's like a three-page thing here, so y'all kind of keep that in mind as I'm reading this. There's another gentleman involved here. I don't want to even attempt his name. It's spelled CITRINOWICZ, and he is on the Iranian side. Now, what he said is Iran cannot be prevented from acquiring nuclear weapons. It can only be delayed. Israel's hesitance to take serious action against Iran could be attributed to the apparent inevitability of Iran's nuclear capacity, as well as the complexities associated with any preemptive strike. The Israeli Major General Armador, he said the Israeli statements aimed at Iranian ears should they cross a certain red line that Israel will respond, does not see itself committed to any international agreements reached with Iran. It's committed to its own security and not to the international belief that the solution to the problem can be fixed diplomatically. So, in other words, Israel's going to do what they're going to do. They don't care what the world thinks about it, and they're not waiting on the United States either. You know, they're going to do what they need to do. They realize that, you know, if Iran gets nuclear weapons, that's, you know, that is a game changer, big time. Says an Israeli attack on Iran would literally be the opening act in a larger multi-front regional war, with Iran expected to urge its regional proxies to attack Israel in response. Such a war would presumably lead to extensive damage throughout the Middle East and a large number of casualties. If Israel will conclude that Iran is close to nuclear power, the threat is so big that it will not wait for international legitimacy. For years, the world did not help Israel, so Israel will have no choice. We will not be seeing American boots on the ground, which is likely the only thing that would impact Iranian decision on a nuclear program. So, in other words, the United States is being too quiet. Okay, they're not doing what they ought to do. They're not backing up Israel like they have all these years. And I went on the record a couple of weeks ago, and I said I believe that the United States is going to pick the wrong side, and I'm not changing. I believe the United States is going to pick the wrong side, and that's the reason we're not in the Bible. Okay. Terry, it is time yet again for 2 minutes with Terry. So I want you to get all your stuff together like right now, okay? Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, time is now yours, sir.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything creeping, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for me, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen, Terry. And, you know, it's always good to hear your segments and the Bible. That's the important thing. And, you know, I can't get over the thing, you know, with where in Genesis it talks about Jesus Christ. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Yeah. And if you're not paying attention, you miss it. You know, if you're not paying attention, you miss that. Okay, we're going to get straight into Ezekiel now. We've delayed this long enough. So, Terry, I'm going to put this up on screen for you. This is Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. I hope you can see that.
I can. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.
Okay, now this particular area, and I'm going to put the scripture back up on screen because I think it, you know, here in just a minute, because I think that, there's probably going to be some debate on this. And it seems like we had a podcast maybe 2-3 years ago, I don't remember, but where we discussed this dry bones thing, right? And if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going with a memory from 2 or 3 years ago, okay?
Sure.
If I remember correctly, you said that you felt that that meant that there was going to be actual people that were going to be basically resurrected or whatever, that's what that was saying. And am I correct in that? Am I mischaracterizing it? Or
well, first of all, the conversation you're talking about had to have happened between us before
this was a long time ago. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And my understanding of that passage is that what takes place, bring up the words again.
Yeah, sure. And let me tell you why I'm asking you that question, because I'm not sure exactly what this means. I'm going by a lot, you know, I take your input. I take it very, very seriously. And you know, I take Emeritus Fertes' opinions very, very seriously. And I can tell you what Amir said, and then you tell me how close it is to your interpretation. Maybe that's the more appropriate way to do this.
Okay.
What he said is this concerns the Holocaust, and that The dry bones that are referred to here are Israel coming back into the land, occupying the land once again, that God brings Israel, general terms, back to life. Covers the dry. He said, where in history, can we see members of the Jewish faith that are, you know, so broken down? You know, if you look at the Holocaust pictures, that pretty much looks like dry bones, doesn't it? And, you know, that, now that's his interpretation. And I shouldn't say interpretation, that's his opinion. Okay.
Yes,
so
yes.
Does that match yours, or do you have a different one? And I do have that scripture up on screen for our audience to see that watches
looking,
it. Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking closely. First of all, the position that he's offering is a popular position, and I've heard it over the years. However, in my own studies, what I see, because the Word of God, when it speaks, it's my understanding that it's saying exactly what it means. And so, yes, I have no problem thinking that it could be speaking of God bringing people into the land. But I think more specifically, because it is a prophecy, that it's actually speaking of those people who have been destroyed during the Holocaust, as an example, and in addition to them, all the Jews that have died over the centuries and the decades, the millenniums, all the way back to the beginning, that were believers. As an example, Abraham, his bones, you know, if they're even around, dust, whatever, all of them, just all of it, anyone that qualifies in that category is going to be brought back, but they're going to be brought back at the beginning of the millennium. When he talks about, Daniel talks about it in chapter 12, where he talks about the dead are going to be raised, and he says some are going to be raised to life, but some are going to be raised to judgment.
Right.
So in other words, they're all going to be raised, but what are they going to be raised to? What it does say is that this raising, this, you know, I'm going to put sinew back on your bones. I'm going to make your bones from the dust, and I'm going to put sinew on them. I'm going to bring you back to life. Okay, that all fits in with the prophecy of the end times when the Lord comes back in agreement with Daniel and prepares, and then the sheep go into the millennium and so forth. And those, it says, some unto life and some unto judgment. Okay. So that's my overall picture. I don't know.
Okay.
If anyone else,
well,
has
again,
ever been,
you know,
but you asked me, so I'm telling you what I think I see. So,
and I appreciate that. Like I said, I take what you say extremely seriously. I take what Amir says extremely seriously,
and I do too.
And J.G. Williams, you know, he gives both of you guys much more credit or much more credibility on this particular topic than I would put. So, for me, I'm going to stay kind of silent on it,
and that's good.
I think what I did, at least what I hope I did, is I presented both sides, Amir's position and your position, and then I leave it to the listener out there to go.
They can do, and I encourage them to do their own study.
Right,
Amir would never claim infallibility. Nor would I.
Right, exactly.
We're giving our best shot.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, that's the beautiful thing about this, is that we're all believers, you know, and we're all going to heaven, and we're all going to be raptured, okay? It doesn't mean that we all know everything that's going on. I mean, I don't claim to know it all. You know, Terry doesn't claim to know it all. Neither does Amir.
Even Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, now, speaking of himself, the great apostle Paul, he said, I know in part. Then we shall know. John says the same thing in 1 John. Then we're going to know even as we are known.
Yeah.
So Yeah, one, there's a whole bunch out there that we're going to discover and learn.
Right. So. One beautiful thing that I don't, maybe it was even you that told me the story. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was the story of a lady that was nearing death. She was a Christian. She, mm-hmm. you know, she had accepted Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. She was going to heaven. And mm-hmm. so she's getting down to the very last breaths, mm-hmm. hadn't even been mm-hmm. conscious in days. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. at the moment, right before she died, or maybe right as she died would be a better way to say mm-hmm. it, her eyes opened, and she spoke for the mm-hmm. first time in days, and she said, "Of course." That's it, just of course. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. all of the knowledge, you know, everything, mm-hmm. all the questions that you have mm-hmm. your entire life about, you know, what happens mm-hmm. at death, what, you know, what's going on, mm-hmm. all the everything. She knew it right there at the moment mm-hmm. of death, right at the mm-hmm. moment of death. And I think that mm-hmm. fits perfectly scripturally, by the way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to leave that point behind, because what I want people to do is go to Ezekiel. And that's, again, that's Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. Look at for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do your own research. Terry and I do our own.
Yes.
Do your own research.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Please.
This is now Ezekiel 37, and this is verses 7 through 10. I think we have time to maybe touch on it, Terry. Let's go ahead and go with this one.
So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Okay, and, you know, this halfway, I would say half of that supports Amir, half of that supports T.L. Farley, you know, and I think it's beautiful, because what this does is it tells people, look, there are certain parts of the Bible that even some of the best Bible scholars, and I'm not calling you like a prophet, Terry, okay,
yes,
and a mirror
yes.
either. I'm not doing either one of those. Okay,
I appreciate that.
But you know, there are differences of opinions with
Absolutely.
Christians, you know, and we kind of touched on it a little bit before we even read that. But it's mm-hmm. beautiful, because what it does is it says you, and when I say you, I mean each and every one of us, needs to pick mm-hmm. up the Bible, open it up, mm-hmm. read it, and then read it
Amen.
And read it and read it and keep reading
Amen.
It. And the more you read it, the more answers you get. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Billy Graham never claimed to know everything about the Bible.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
I've never seen a true, honest Christian say, yeah, I know it all. Everything. You know, everything's been answered for me. I've got every mm-hmm. answer 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as mm-hmm. you were mentioning, Paul didn't even do it. You know, John didn't do it. None of the real mm-hmm. prophets did it. Mm-hmm. They all had their part. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, that was it. Terry, you got about 30 seconds if you want to respond. That's all we got.
Yeah, no, I'm with you completely on that. Folks, don't worry. The most important thing is if you know Jesus.
Amen.
From there on, everything else is going to fall into place.
Amen.
Know to call on him, and he will answer you and save you.
Amen. Okay, well, we've come to the end of this edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. If the good Lord gives us another broadcast day, we will be back with you next time. Again, if you have a radio station and you want a good show, we're it. Just go to www.lastchristian.net, and that way your audience can hear some news that they're not going to hear anywhere else, because the mainstream media just doesn't want to give you the truth. And that's what we do. We verify every fact before we put it online. Every single one of them. And we are Bible-based. We give you current events and world news strictly from a Christian perspective. Hopefully we see you next time. Until then, good night, and may God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.